Good evening. It's good to be back after 3 weeks. And we will continue our Psalm series, Tehillim. If you remember, the last lecture before I left, I actually rushed to do many of the chapters quickly without realizing that the juicy part I left out. So briefly, I'm going to complete some of the missing things from chapter 20 to 26, and then we can move on, because we got all the way up to number 26. When we spoke about chapter number 20, the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, page 4, the Gemara asks, Mi ben ha'olam haba? Who has potential to be a part, to have a part in the world to come? So the answer is, Mi shemechaber geula latfila, someone that connects between the salvation to the prayers, which means when we pray in Shachrit in the morning, when we finish after Shema Yisrael, the last bracha before we start Hashem Sfatai Tiftach is Baruch Ata Hashem Gaal Yisrael, which means that's the reason we don't say Kaddish there. Technically, it should have been a Kaddish. We don't want to cut between Gaal Israel. Gaal means save, salvation, save the nation of Israel. And right away, we start the tefillah, the prayer. When someone asks you what's the main part of the prayer, it's the tefillah Shmona Esrei. When we stand and we pray the tefillah Shmona Esrei, this is the main part of the tefillah. So by saying the word Gaal Israel and moving directly into the tefillah Shmona Esrei, you're actually fulfilling these words of the Gemara in Masechet Brachot. And that's the reason why they did not put Kaddish inside. Right? So David HaMelech, he finished chapter 19 with the Pasuk, Yiyu l'ratzon imrei fi ve'egon libi lefanecha. The words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart will be welcome in front of you, God. This is the last verse of chapter 19. And right away started chapter 20, Ya'ancha Hashem beyom tzara. Started chapter 20, Hashem will answer you in day of trouble. The Malbim, which lived about 150 years ago, one of the important commentators on the Torah, on the Tanakh, he says, what's the difference between Ezer to Sa'ad? Like sometimes we say in Israel, there's a place called Lishkat HaSa'ad, the office of Sa'ad. What Sa'ad? They help people, poor people, people in need. Ezer, Ezra, means also to help. So when there are two words that sound similar in the holy language, but they actually pronounced different, and they're written different, that means there's something unique between them. There's some change between them. Otherwise, it would be the same word. So Ezer means the first aid. When a person needs help, the first aid that you give him, someone got hit on the road, lo aleinu, the first transaction when the atzala comes, they put him in a bed, they put all kinds of band-aid. This is it's called the first aid. That's called Ezra. Like that's what they call in Israel, Ezra Rishona, the first aid. Then later, Sa'ad means it's like the continuation of the treatment, which means the support that comes later on that a person also will not fall. You support it. The Tikkuni HaZohar, he said that this verse has 70 words. 70 words, each word against each angel of the nations. There are 70 nations. Today there are much more because like the Arabs broke to more than 20 different nations. But it's really one minister, the minister of Ishmael. All Arabs come from one minister. Many other nations, you know, like in Russia, there's many different groups, many different nations, which technically they all belongs to one minister. Many of the nations broke to pieces, but technically there are 70 roots, 70 nations, 70 ministers. And the 70 words of this mizmor, this is what David HaMelech writes, Ele basusim, ele barechev, ele basusim. They count on their carriages and their horses, and we count on Hashem. That's the difference between a Jewish soldier, not of today. Today, if it's a religious Jewish soldier, of course he trusts Hashem more than anyone. Then he trusts the strength of his army, his general, his weapon, his tank, his airplane, whatever he's using. But technically, a religious Jew, he knows my life and our salvation is in the hand of God. The rest, it's only aid. Without it, you know, without Hashem, there's nothing we can do. Without the weapon, we can still survive. Or without Hashem, there's no chance. But the rest of the soldiers, they believe in their strength. Not everyone believes in God, unfortunately. This is the situation in the world today. Rabbeinu Bechaye, that lives about almost 800 years ago, he said that the blessing that Jacob gave to Judah has all the letters of the alphabet except the letter Zayin, which Zayin in Hebrew means weapon, clay milchama, the weapons that people use, it's called clay Zayin. What's the hint over here? To show us that the nation of Israel is not depend on a weapon, it's only depend on the wish and the help of Hashem. And also the name of the Jews, it's called, the name of the nation of Israel in the Tanakh, it's called Tola'at Yaakov, the worm, Jacob the worm. What's the connection between the nation of Israel to a worm? The worm is a very soft creature, very, very soft. You can smash it with your two fingers and kill it and make it like nothing, like butter. But this worm, as soft as it is, as small as it is, as weak as it is, can penetrate the hardest thing in nature, solid wood. Eventually this worm penetrates inside and made himself holes. It penetrates hard fruit, which means the worm, it's very tricky. It looks weak, it looks unable to do anything, but in reality, it does a wonderful job by penetrating even the hardest places. So this is a comparison between the worm to the way the nation of Israel. Technically, there's always against the odds. There's really no odds, but eventually they always survive, they always win, and the major empires in the world, one after the other, collapsed and disappeared from the face of the earth. One extra edition on chapter 22, that in this Mizmor, this chapter, King David wrote it with Ruach HaKodesh. At the time that he wrote it, he had the Holy Spirit on him. When Shimi ben Gera was cursing David HaMelech, he was cursing the king. Someone that cursed the king immediately has to be put to death. You can't go against the king, even if you have a solid point against him, you don't have permission to insult the king. There's no such thing, freedom of speech, when it comes to the king that is a representative of God, like Moshe, like David, like Shaul, whoever was in charge, this is the authority. Cursing him is like cursing Hashem. You curse him, you have no right to live anymore. The point is, why David did not kill him? When they wanted to kill him, he said, leave him, leave him. Hashem told him to curse. All of a sudden, he decided to be humbled. You can be humbled when it comes to your personal honor and dignity. But when you represent Hashem, you're a big rabbi, and someone insults you, curses you, speaks not nice to you, it's not the same. About yourself, you can be humble, you can forgive, even, you know, someone owe you money, you can say, keep the money, I'm not, no problem. Well, when he curses you and you're in authority, he doesn't have a problem with you. You're not even a factor here. It's actually the authority of Hashem. Because people that teach the Torah of Hashem, they have an authority. You know, and by going against them, you're actually going against Hashem. This is the way the Torah describes it. So over here, all of a sudden, King David ignored the rule. Why he doesn't kill him? It's an obligation to kill him. It's not up to you, you want or you don't want. That's the law. Mored b'malchut, someone rebel against the kingdom must be put to death, right? So what's going on here? But he sees something that nobody else could see. He has a vision. He was a prophet. On top of it, he has Ruach HaKodesh. So what did he see? He saw that from this Shimi ben Gera, Esther and Mordechai are about to be born in the future. the salvation of the Jewish nation will come eventually from where? It will come. It would come from Esther and Mordechai. And Esther and Mordechai can only come to the world from this Shimi ben Gera. I kill him now. If one day we have a chance to get saved, we're actually going to lose the chance. So what's better? That I'll do what I need to do right now, and later on the nation will be, you know, destroyed? Or better, I'll be silent right now? And this is what it says, Mordechai ben Yair ben Shim'i. Mordechai, this is what it says, soon we're getting to Purim. Mordechai ben Yair ben Shim'i, which is a grandson of this Shim'i, that if David would kill him, we wouldn't have Mordechai. You don't have Mordechai and Esther, their relatives. Here we go. We are basically destroyed. So all the salvation depend on it. So that's why David did not take any action against him. Also, it says, "Atzila micherev nafshi miyad kelev yechidati." This verse, what does it mean? Rashi Tevot, abbreviation Haman. There's hints about the salvation of Purim here in this Mizmor, even though it was written 600 years before. It's all in the prophecy. What does it say? Hatzila micherev nafshi, hatzila hey, micherev start with mem, nafshi with nun, haman. Hatzila, save me from the sword. What does it mean? The sword of who? Haman. The Gemara said no one had a dirtier mouth more than Haman. He knew how to put poison, to instigate. It was like Hitler. Hitler came from Haman. They bought Germany, the Gemara say. Haman, who's Haman? Haman came from Hagag, Haman Agagi. Agag is Amalek. Germany is also Amalek. Zo Germania shel Edom, Edom is Esav. Amalek come from Esav. It's all connected. All these evil, wicked people all come from the same root. No coincidence here. So, same thing, Hitler was able to scream and all the fools are following him with the racism and all these things that they did. Same thing Haman was. Everyone was shaking from him. Everywhere he goes, they bow down to him except Mordechai. So, you know, so what does it mean, miyad kelev yechidati? They compare Haman to a dog. Why? The Gemara says someone who speaks Lashon Hara instigate and make damages with his tongue deserve to be thrown to the dogs that they should eat him. Someone that kill other people with his mouth. Lashon Hara is not just a sin. It's a murder. It can be, sometimes it's worse than a murder. If a person die, it's X amount of damage. He destroyed his reputation and his children and the whole family and his parents. Ooh, it's a whole tribe that their life is destroyed from few sentences that you say in public against a person. It's no joke. So the verse 24 here is speaking about Binyamin, the son of Yaakov. It says, Guru mimeno kol zera Israel. Fear him, all the descendants of Israel. Why? Binyamin is the only tribe, the only son of Yaakov that did not bow down to Esav. Everyone, when Esav came with 400 men, everyone came in his turn and bowed down to Esav from fear, from respect, whatever the case was. Binyamin was the only one who did not bow down. Why? He was in his mother's womb, at the time. He wasn't born yet. So Binyamin never bowed down to Esav because he wasn't born yet. Therefore, who came from Binyamin, his grandson, Mordechai. Mordechai also did not bow down to Haman. It's all connected. Ma'ase avot, siman lebanim. Actions of the fathers eventually reflects on the children in the next generation. Not always they know the connection, but there's always a connection. Ma'ase avot siman lebanim. Remember this sentence. It's very common in Judaism. Things that happen to the parents happen to the sons. Just like Abraham with the whales, Yitzchak also with the whales. They're blocking the whales here, they're blocking the whales there. He meets his wife You know, in the same way, he meets his wife in the same way. He meets in a whale, he meets in a whale. All kinds of connections, things that happen to Yaakov happen exactly to Yosef, one by one. So we see that actions that happen to the, things that happen to the parents eventually happen to the children. Binyamin, as I said, is the only son that was born in a holy land. That's why the holy temple was built in his chair. Every one of the tribes got a piece of land in Israel. Binyamin got the Moriah mountain, which eventually there was the dream of Yaakov. You know, it was actually before that Yaakov had the dream over there. That's where the Akedah was, that Avraham Avinu took Yitzchak for the Akedah. So the father and the grandfather of Binyamin already visited that place. And that's already, Yaakov said, this is the gate to heaven. This is the most important place in the world. And eventually it fell in the hand of Binyamin because he's the only one that was born in the Holy Land. In verse 29, it says, Ki le'ashem amlucha u'moshel bagoyim. Ki le'ashem amlucha. The salvation, the kingdom belongs to Hashem. U'moshel bagoyim, he is the governor, the ruler of the nations. What's the difference between Melech to Moshel? Melech, it's a king. Moshel, in today's language, is governor, controller. More or less, that's what it is. What's the difference between a king to a controller? They both have the power. They're both in charge. Everyone is under them. They're above the law. They make the law, whatever. So what's the difference? There has to be a difference. What's the difference? A king is chosen and loved by the nation. The nation wanted him to be a king. So the nation choose him, the nation love him, and he becomes the king. Moshel, it's by force. Nobody asks you. I occupy the place. I'm putting right here a Moshel, a controller. You pay him tax. You listen to him. You mess with him, he kills you. You don't love him. It's a Roman governor. Nobody loves him, or a Greek one. But what can they do? They took over the land. You have to pay them tax. It's not like when you choose Shaul to be your king or David to be your king, right? So that's the difference between king in a holy language to Moshel. What else we have to say about this mizmor? That the Moshel, the governor, is the nation has no choice. They didn't choose him, which means it was forced on them. In chapter 23, the addition would be that it says, Mizmor le David, Adonai roi lo echsar. We say it in Shabbat. If Hashem is my shepherd, I miss nothing. Mizmor le David, Adonai roi lo echsar. Roi means my shepherd. When Hashem is my shepherd, I'm not worried. Everything I have is taking care of me. That's the beginning of this mizmor. David wrote it in the hardest time of his life, when he was escaping from Shaul, right? And he was hiding in a yar, in a forest called Cheret. And this mizmor has 57 words. Mizmor le David, we say it in a kiddush. Mizmor le David, 57 words, which is numeric value zan. We also say it in Birkat HaMazon. Before Birkat HaMazon, you look in the Sidurim, Mizmor le David, Adonai roi lo echsar, binodesh yarbitzeni, al mem enuchot yenaaleni, nafshi yeshovev, Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, in many communities. Why? What's the connection between this mizmor to the blessing of the food? The answer, numeric value, zan. Zan means feed. Baruch ata Hashem, hazan et hakol. Bless you, God, that feed everyone. So because it's 57 words, numeric value zan, it's connected to this word zan, which means feed, to feed. That's why we connected to Birkat HaMazon. Also, that's actually the words of the Ari. Also, it has 227 letters, numeric value bracha, blessing. So two things here. 227 letters, numeric value, bracha, blessing. 57 words, numeric value, food, feeding. The blessing of the food. That's the secret of this mizmor. Gam ki elech beigei tzal mavet, even though I would walk in a valley that called tzal mavet. What's tzal mavet? One of the seven places in hell. In Gehenom, there's different places. Each place in hell has a different name. Bor, it's one. Tita Yaven, Tzal Mavet, Tachtita Aretz, all this, each place is a different place, different punishments, different sinners, different atmosphere, different difficulties, all kinds of, it's completely different. One below the other. Tzal Mavet is one of them. Not the worst, but not the easiest. So he's talking about, in a Kabbalah way, in a secret way, even if I'll be in a place like Tzal Mavet, as horrible as this place, I won't fear. Why? I still know you with me. Here, when I'm punished, when I'm suffering, I know you with me. Why should I fear? I know you are, it's everything under control. Lo ira ra ki ata imadi. This verse, believe it or not, was said by President George Bush when the Twin Towers collapsed. In his speech, he said one verse from Psalms. It came from this mizmor. What's the connection between the President of the United States when the Twin Towers collapsed to say this verse? There's thousands of verses. There's tens of thousands of verses in the Tanakh. Can count how many. Even in Tehillim, 150 chapters, each chapter has 50, 100, 150, 170 verses. Each chapter, so many thousands of verses. Why he chose this? Why? Because God put it in his mouth. What's the connection between this verse to the Twin Towers? What's the connection? The connection is that if you take this verse, right? If you take the word elech, gam ki elech begei tzal mavet. Elech means I will walk. Elech, aleph, lamed, chaf, ending chaf. From the chaf, you count two letters. There's an equal mathematical skip. You count two letters from the ending chaf. You know, what do you get? In a skip of two, you get Chaf Gimel Be'elul. You get Chaf, it's Chaf. Two letters you skip, you get Gimel. Two letters you skip, Bet. Two letters you skip, Aleph. Two letters you skip, Lamed. Two letters you skip, Vav. Two letters you skip, Lamed. Chaf Gimel Be'elul. 23 in the month of Elul. That's when the twins collapsed. George Bush said what he said, and he never knew what he said. The words of Hashem, the 23rd day of Elul, the Twin Towers collapse. The President of the United States think, what verse from the Tanakh I will take? From thousands of verses, he took the only verse that has the date of September 11 hidden inside an equal mathematical skip. Now you tell me that the world is coincidence and there's no boss and there's no supervision. Let's see who's gonna believe you. So we continue here. We're going into Mizmor chapter 24. Chapter 24, David, King David, dedicated his life to bring humanity to a situation of Adam, first Adam, before he made the sin. In Midrash Shocher Tov, that's what it says. Amar Shmuel, four of the chapters that King David wrote should have been written by Adam. It's actually Adam speaking from King David's mouth. What's the connection between King David to Adam? Adam, Hashem told him, the day you eat from the tree, you'll die. In the day of Hashem, it's 1,000 years. 6 days of creation, the world is set for 6,000 years. We are in 5,775. Which means we are now in the sixth day of the creation and in the last quarter of it, which means Friday night, Shabbat is beginning. Shabbat, it's already a spiritual time. So it's very interesting, the time that we're in, as we see the whole world is preparing for the days of the Messiah and the salvation and the resurrection of the dead and to clean the world from all the wicked people. Soon it's going to happen. Everything is cooking now for the right moment. So it's very interesting here that Adam was supposed to die by the end of 1,000, but he died 930. What happened to the 70 years? He donated 70 years of his life to King David. He saw in a vision that the Messiah has to come from King David, Mashiach ben David, son of David. Since King David was supposed to be a miscarriage, to fall in his mother's pregnancy, Adam knew my only way to correct my sin and the disaster that I caused to the world after God cursed me and my wife, you know, that she has to suffer giving birth and raising children, and I have to work all the time and have the stress to bring food to my table. Those curses, and besides that, the spiritual effect that my sin made to the world can only be corrected 100% in days of Messiah. And if the founder of Messiah, the father, is going to be a miscarriage, that means I don't have a chance. So he donated 70 years, and that's how King David came to the world. And it's very interesting, because he's saying things that Adam should have said. And this is one of the four that Chazal are saying that actually Adam was supposed to say it. And this mizmor, it was written in a day that King David bought the land to build Beit HaMikdash from a goy named Arvana, Arvana Yevusi, one of the seven nations that lived in Israel. You know, Achivi, Aprizi, Girgashi, Yevusi, Akna'ani. This is all the seven cursed nations, idol worshippers, that God said, do not leave any memory from them. Destroy their idols. I'm going to kick them out of the land. I'm going to give you their land. They have no mercy on them. Do not make any peace with them. I can't stand idol worshippers. Clean them from the face of the earth. Any idol they left, dig it from deep under the ground. Don't leave any from their influence in the land. So one before this Arvana is still living in Israel. So King David bought the lot. Arvana, I don't know if he knew or not what important property he owned. It seems to me that if he knew what it's worth, he would ask for endless price for the most important square in the whole universe. That's where Beit HaMikdash was built. That's where Avraham Avinu had the Akedah. That's the dream of Yaakov with the angels coming up and down in the ladder. Obviously, it's a very important place. So King David bought it for his son Shlomo, Solomon, to build the Beit HaMikdash. He built it from Arvana Yevusi. He bought it. You know, that's what we call the Moriah Mountain. And from there, what's very important from that mountain? The sand that was taken to create Adam came from that area. So actually, we see that all alone, a beautiful connection between Adam and King David. It's one continue the way of the other to come to fix the mistake that Adam made. So David bought the place where the sand were taken by Hashem to create Adam HaRishon. And this is the first mizmor in Beit HaMikdash. This mizmor, chapter 24 in Psalms, is the song that they sang in Beit HaMikdash every Sunday, first day of the week. Every Sunday, they sang this song, right? So this is right here, the chapter 24 of Psalms, the Levim, the Levites with the choir and the band, the orchestra, they used to play and sing this song. And this song, by the way, it's also Sgula Leparnasa. It's secret, the secret here that is able to improve the living of a person, to make more money. In Yom Kippur and in Rosh Hashanah, when we open the Ark, Ptichat Ha'echal Leparnasa, this is the mizmor we read. There are many secrets in it, also connects to Parnasa. It says over there, Mi ya'aleh be'ar Hashem? Who will have the merit to climb to the mountain of God? Neki kapayim uvar levav. Someone that his hand is clean and his heart is clean. Who will be saved in time of anger when the salvation will begin and all the wicked people will be vanished? Who will be able to survive and be picked to life of eternity? People that are not thieves, deceivers, liars, you know, all the fakers, all these people that their heart is dirty and their mouth is dirty and their mind is dirty, they're not going to be saved. But the ones that their hands are clean from stealing and they're honest and they're down to earth and their heart is pure and they don't have evilness in them, they work on their character, they are the one who will be saved in that day. Also in this world, not only in the next world, over here also, someone that is clean, is not a thief, his property belongs to him, then automatically he has special protection. But someone that everything he owns is stolen, what kind of protection this person has? Usually when Hashem wants to punish a person, first priority is to hit his property, his belongings, not his body directly and his health. But if the property is stolen, if the money is stolen, if your car is not yours, you stole money from people and then now you have a car, you stole from your partner, you stole from the government, you stole from insurance companies, everything that you have is really not yours. So when the time comes to punish you, there's really no point of punishing the property because it's really not yours. This one belongs to Reuven, this one belongs to John, this one belongs to the insurance company, nothing is yours. You use it with no permission, but Hashem knows it's not yours. Therefore, the problem comes directly on a person with no warning. If you own it, if your hands are clean from stealing, you get a warning at least. Oh, my car went on fire. What message God is sending me? Let me check myself to see what I'm doing wrong. It's a wake-up call. It's a warning. Big deal, a car. If there's nothing to warn you with, it goes directly to the person, Hashem Yirachem. So, there's one more thing we have to say about this Mizmor. What's the difference between Naki and Bar? Neki kapayim, kapayim means the hands. Neki, Naki means clean in modern Hebrew. What does it mean in the Tanakh? Neki kapayim uvar levav. That the hands are clean and the heart is clean. But they don't use the same word. When it comes to the hand, he used the word naki. When it comes to the heart, he used the word bar. He doesn't say naki lev naki. He say bar levav. What's the difference? The difference is, naki means clean from the outside. It's not talking about internally. The hands are clean from the outside. There's no point of the hands being clean inside, under the skin. But the heart is internally. Cleanness of the inside, it's called bar. Bar, naki, mipsolet. Clean from the outside, it's called naki. See, even these words, you ask any Israeli today in university, tell me what's the difference between this word to the other, no one would know what you want. They say, mila nirdefet, similar words, same meaning. Answer, wrong. There's no such thing in Judaism, similar words with the same meanings. Every word that is different than the other means at least one difference between one to the second one. All right, so we're done with that. The bar comes from the word borer. In Shabbat, if you made salad, vegetable salad, then you have a seed, peat, from the lemon, fell inside. You're not allowed to take it out on Shabbat. Why? It's taking the bad out of the good. You're making it perfect. It was not perfect. By taking the bad out, you make it now perfect. You're not allowed on Shabbat. That's one of the 39 restrictions. You can't take the bad out of the good. So that's come from the word borer. Borer means picking up the garbage out. That's what it means bar. Bar means that the inside is clean from the garbage. Do you understand the difference between Naki and Bar? Then chapter 25, and then we should go on with our new chapters. One more comments to add to chapter 25. It says in this Mizmor, Orchotecha lamdeni, Orchot, in Judaism we have in Shulchan Aruch a chapter called Orach Chaim. Orach, Orchot means way of life. Way of life, how to wake up in the morning, how to wash your hands, what blessing to say, how to tie your shoes. All these things, it's way of life. Judaism in general, it's a way of life. It's not a religion. Religion means worshipping a god. Judaism has nothing to do with worshipping a god. Judaism is a way of life. The Torah in Hebrew means instructions. Instructions how to live. For you, not for me. I'm perfect with or without your behaving. You behave according to the rules. You go against the rules. Does it make a difference in me? Does it make any impression? Does it make me less perfect? You can make me more perfect or less perfect. I am the ultimate perfect. So your behaving has nothing to do with what's going to be out of me. I'm always going to be the same perfect. So therefore, everything that you do, you're doing for yourself. You're not doing me a favor. I set a system with rules. You do the right thing, I will pay you. You do the wrong thing, I'll punish you. And this is how it works. So now chapter 25, David says, Orchotecha lamdeni, show me your ways. What does it mean? What's the difference between Orach and Derech? He should have said, Drachecha lamdeni, show me your ways. Why did he use the word Orchotecha lamdeni? What's the difference between Orach and Derech? Technically, ask anybody today, say the same word, similar word. The answer, no. Orach means a narrow road that comes out of the main road to the sides. You have a major highway, major roads, exits that goes on the service roads. That's called Orach, Orchot, things that comes out of the main road, which means, what's the connection here to say that? Which means David, at the time that he wrote this Mizmor, he had leprosy and he was isolated. Someone that had leprosy has to be isolated until he comes out of his skin. So he say, Ki yachid ve'ani ani. Yachid means I am singular. I'm alone. What do you mean you're alone? You're a very famous figure. How can you be alone? Now, when I'm writing this Mizmor, I'm in isolation because I have this rash in my skin, leprosy. Yachid ve'ani ani. What does it mean, ani? Ani means poor, but he wasn't poor. He was rich, he wasn't poor. King, how poor a king can be? Ani means ani be'mitzvot now. Now I can't do what I'm normally doing. I can learn, I'm here with this leprosy and all this. I'm isolated, basically in a depression right now. So show me your ways. Begging for Hashem to show him the right way. So we basically completed from chapter 20 to 26 the things that I did not mention in my last lecture because I was in a rush to finish as much as I could before I left. So now we basically balanced everything to the right point. Now we're continuing with chapter 26. And we're also going to explain the words. Chapter 26, we know that there are four people that were tested by Hashem. That Hashem came to them and started to test them. Who are the four people that God tested them? One is, we know, Avraham Avinu. Abraham. He did not ask Hashem to test him. Abraham didn't ask for a test. But when Hashem tested him, he passed all the tests. Remember, he did not ask for the test. But when the test came, he passed each one of the 10 tests that he had in his life. But he did not ask for the test. Then Eov. Eov was a non-Jewish prophet. Prophet Eov. He penetrated into Judaism very, very strongly. Why? When the truth is above everything. There's no racism, no prejudice. He was a righteous Gentile. is mentioned in Judaism, in the Talmud, in the Tanakh, even if he wasn't Jewish. What do we care about him? He's not one of our nation. The answer is the truth is above politics, above everything. He was righteous. Hashem said he was righteous. We have to learn about him. He was a prophet of the Goyim. He's an important person. You can't just wave him like he wasn't anything. So Yov, however, what's the difference between Yov and Avraham? Yov, when Hashem came to test him, complained about the test. Yov had complaints. He said to Hashem, maybe you made a mistake between Yov and Oyev. It's the same letters. Alev, Yud, Vav, Bet, right? Yov. Oyev, same thing, just switch the Vav and the Yud, the order. Same letter, four letters. Yov said to Hashem, maybe you got me confused with someone else. I am your lover. I am your follower. I am righteous. I'm not your enemy. Maybe the letters got mixed in your computer over there. So Hashem answered him, when the rain falls, not one drop will ever touch the other. If one drop will touch the other on the way down to earth, that will destroy the entire world. It never happened, and it will never happen, because I watch everything that happens perfectly. And you are telling me that I mixed you between you and someone else? Then he gave him another example. He told him every hair that comes from the scalp has its own spring, that it sucks the energy and the life out of the scalp. If two hairs accidentally would come from the same hole, the person immediately will become blind. And you are telling me that I mix you between you and Oyev and an enemy? Bottom line, after this beautiful discussion, Yov, Hashem tested him with hard test. He sent the Satan to test him. Yov had horrible test, but Yov complained about the test. Not like Abraham, that not only did not complain, passed all the tests. Yov wasn't such a great success. That's the second person. Now, the third one was King Chizkiyahu. King Chizkiyahu. Excuse me. So King Chizkiyahu, he asked Hashem to stop the test. Please, Hashem, stop what you're doing. So we have Avraham did not make a peep. Everything except with love and pass everything. Yov complained. Chizkiyahu, which was one of the most righteous kings in history, in his generation, every little kid knew the entire Torah. He took a sword and he said, someone who will not know everything of the Torah will be stepped to death. And what happened? Chizkiyahu saw that the tests are coming from Hashem, and he begged Hashem to stop. He knew his limitation. He knew Hashem will continue to test me. I'm going to end up falling. Better not to have a test. This is, by the way, like us. What are we praying every morning? Ve'al tevi'eni leiden nisayon. Please do not test me. So who we are like, we're not like Abraham. Baruch Hashem, we're not like Yov, because we don't have permission to complain. And we are like Chizkiyahu. Thank you. Please, Hashem, don't test me. And who is the fourth one? David HaMelech. What's special about David? He asked Hashem to test him. He say, Hashem, you have Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They are the three wheels of your carriage. I want to be the fourth wheel. Hashem told him, you can't. He said, why? Aren't I righteous and doing everything I can for the truth? And Hashem told him, yes, you do. But they had a major test, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they passed it. You did not have a test like them. So David say, in that case, please test me. Right away, Hashem sent him a test. He looked out of the window, and he see on the roof of the building next to him, beautiful woman, Bathsheba, on the roof of the building. And that's what led him to make a mistake with her, with Uriah Hitti, that Hashem had to send him Nathan the prophet. And the whole story of the mashal, of the parable of Kifsat Arash, the sheep of the poor person that the prophet Nathan told him, started as soon as he finished his sentence, "Please test me," the test began, and he did not pass the test. So it says like this. David saw in this Mizmor, this is the chapter we're talking about, remember, chapter 26. He saw the whip is hanging on the wall. And he said to Hashem, "Why the whip is hanging there? Take it and hit me." That's what he said. "Hit me." What does it mean? Shofteni Hashem. Shofteni means like you take a whip and you give a person what he deserves. What kind of person asks from his boss or from his God, "Take the whip and hit me"? Someone that wants to be righteous. He wants to always be pushed back into the right path. In other words, if you see something not right about me, don't wait for tomorrow. Take the whip, give me a big smack, push me back into the right track. Why? I rather be righteous with pain than wicked with fun. Not like us. In America, everyone wants to have fun. "Rabbi, I want to have fun. I want to be religious, but I also want to have fun." You want to have fun? No problem. This fun would cost you. When the bill will be served, I promise you, this fun that you think you had will be very, very, very bitter in your mouth. Not only you won't enjoy from it when you see the price, it'll be a disaster. So why being a fool? Smart person look a few steps ahead. This delicious cake I'm going to eat now has poison in it. Tomorrow I'll be dead. What's the point? Enjoying now 5 minutes and tomorrow suffer? 1 or 2 months in a hospital with high fevers and stomach poisoning? What's the point? Little pleasure now and pay the price later on? Ask all the people that have HIV how much they suffer. People that got AIDS. What got them to that? 10 minutes of pleasure. 50 years of suffering. 10 minutes of pleasure, 50 years of suffering. Ask all the other people who had accident and lost their feet driving on Shabbat. They ask them, "No, how is life right now?" "Horrible. I can't describe how much I suffer. I used to be free, run, this. Now I'm on a wheelchair all my life. I hate my life." Assuming that they got punished for what the Torah says, that Mechalel Shabbat is a very big crime, if there was the punishment for that, because it could be for other things that they do, only Hashem knows. But how much was the pleasure compared to the suffering? It's ridiculous. What did I gain and what did I lose? Was it worth it? Of course not. Smart person doesn't get to this situation. So here, David said to Hashem, "Take the whip and hit me. Why is it hanging over there? Shofteni Hashem, bechaneni Hashem venaseni. Test me. Test me, please." David wanted, as I say, to be the fourth wheel of the carriage, to join Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Megale Amukot was a very big rabbi. And he said, the words Merkava Shlema, a complete carriage. Merkava means carriage. Shlema means complete. Merkava Shlema, numeric value, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, David. Avraham, Aleph is 1, Bet is 2. Right? Resh, it's 200. Hey, it's 5. Mem, it's 40. Yitzchak, Yud, it's 10. Tzadik, you know, etc. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David together, 652. If you add all the numeric values of the letters of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, David, equal complete carriage. Merkava Shlema, the way it should have been, that David deserved to be there. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, David. Now let's see what this Mizmor has to teach us. Chapter 26. Lamnatzeach le'eved Hashem le'David, the conductor of the orchestra that writes this song, le'eved Hashem le'David, that was written by the servant of God, David. Ne'um pesha la'rasha bekerev libi. This is a speech of the evil inclination of the wicked inside my heart. En pachad Elokim leneged enav. That there's no fear from God in front of his eyes. Ki echelik elav be'enav, because of his sleeky eyes. That's, by the way, one of the signs. If a person is sleazy and sleeky and tricky and deceiving, is that he's using his eyes a lot, winking a lot, you know, always hinting when he speaks. He uses his eyes as a tool of a speech. That's a sign of a very tricky and dangerous person. You know, that's one of the body languages. It comes, by the way, from here. Echelik elav be'enav limtzoh avono lisno. He's hinting with his eyes until he finds a sin among the person, and that's how he makes him hated. Divrei piv aven u'mirma, everything that comes from his mouth is against Hashem and also lies. Chadal le'askil le'etiv. And stop learning and to do good deeds. Not learning, obviously, Torah. Aven yachshov al mishkavo, when he goes to sleep, bad thoughts come to his mind. Ityatzev al derech lo tov, he is already stable in a very crooked way. Ra lo imas, things that are despicable are actually very kosher in his eyes. Mixed dancing, kosher. Gay marriage, kosher. Jew marry Christine, kosher. All his friends, Mechalel Shabbat, kosher. Everything is kosher. Everything. Ashgacha of Mustafa, son of Ibrahim, kosher. Everything kosher. Maybe the piece of paper in a restaurant is kosher, but the food. But for this light, ultra, ultra modern, Orthodox, or even conservative, or reform, whatever you want to name him, can argue about the terms, for him everything is kosher. Lo imas ra. Not one time he's going to say about something that is against Hashem. Everything is fine. Everything is acceptable. Mechalel Shabbat, give him aliyah. Mechalel Shabbat, count him in a minyan. Mechalel Shabbat, eat his food. Everything is allowed. What about all the laws? Don't be primitive, come on. We live in the 21st century. I know many people like that. They walk with a yarmulke on their head. There's one in Israel, the biggest rasha in the history of Israel, with a yarmulke on his head. No one was ever more wicked than that person, Avram Burg, Shem Reshaim Irkav, just joined the Arab in Israeli Knesset against Israel. Mechalel Shabbat, make fun of David HaMelech, call Mordechai from the Megillah a terrorist. Has a yarmulke on his head. Can you believe it? Can you believe what we're talking here about? Screaming in one of the speeches, we want to eliminate the religion from this country. And yeah, I don't understand why he puts a yarmulke on his head. It's a joke. I never heard a secular person speaking so dirty like this guy. I never saw anyone who hates Hashem more than this guy. But I never understood the point of putting a little quarter on his head. In a million years, I won't understand what's moved in his switches over there in his brain, that after he hates Hashem so much, and the Torah, and the religious people, and the rabbis, and everything that is kosher he hates, what makes him put still a yarmulke on his head? I don't get it. I know people that are much more religious than him that don't put the yarmulke on. But this is the way we live in a world that not everything can be explained. Shem Yirachem. So, what's going on here? It says, Ra lo imas, Hashem ba'ashamayim chasdecha. Hashem, the same way the heaven is endless, that's how your kindness is, compared to the heaven, endless, no boundaries. Your kindness, it's amazing. Emunatcha tshachakim. Your dignity, your loyalty, your honesty, the honesty of your words, of your promises, it's like from heaven all the way to the sky. Tzidkatcha ke'arere el. Your righteousness is like huge mountains. Mishpatecha te'om rabba. Your judgment is so deep, like the deepest holes in nature. You know, sometimes you go on a huge mountain and then you look down, you get chills. Oh, wow, God forbid if I slide and fall down there with a car. It's going to be 20 minutes until I get to the bottom. Horrible. You just look down, you faint. Mishpatecha te'om rabba, the strictness of your judgment is very, very, very deep, like a te'om. Adam uve'ema toshia Hashem, person and animals, you save when you want. Ma yakar chasdecha Elokim, how precious is your kindness, God. Uvne Adam betzel knafecha yechesayun. And people will hide under your wings, under your cover. Irveyun mideshen betecha. They will be full from the greatness of your home. Venachal adanecha tashke. And the river, the lake of your greatness will be their water. Ki imcha mekor chaim. You are the source of life. Be'orcha nireh or. From your light, we will get light. Meshoch chasdecha leyodecha. Please influence from your kindness and the ones who know your name. Leyodei shemecha. People who knows who you are. Means people that learn Torah. Ve'tzidkatcha leyishrei lev. And your righteousness to honest people, people that have an honest heart, not only actions and mouth, their heart is already honest. Sometimes a person has bad things in his mind, but in the end he forces himself to do the right thing, which is a great level. But as a greater level, to adjust the heart, that the heart, like a machine, never ever have any bad in it. I know a few people. Nothing bad in the heart. Nothing. Doesn't exist. It's impossible. You convince them a year to even think something bad they can. Why? They reach a very high level, these people. It's their nature. Became their nature. Maybe they came like this to the world from their previous life. Maybe they have something else to fix, not their personality, not their traits. Something else to achieve. But sometimes you meet people that they don't have anything bad about them. Nothing. They can't hurt anyone. They can never revenge. They always forgive. They never make big deal out of anything. They down to earth. They shy. They nice. They always volunteer. You're looking with a magnifying glass. No, let me find something human about you. None. Like they say in America, too good to be true. Sometimes, you know, I remember when I was in business, I really had a great service. I got lucky. I worked for a bank that had really good service. Unlike all the fakers and liars out there, I was actually selling a very good service, which means I was saving the people more money than the cost of my bank. What can they lose? And it was legit 100%. But sometimes I come to a person, I show him that I save him, let's say, $2,000 a month from his expenses automatically, without changing anything. And it cost him not even 100. And he said to me, I'm not signing. Why? It's too good to be true. It's like overqualified. If I would save him 300 and save him 100, he would sign. But I show him on the papers, look, I'm saving you 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000, and it costs you 100, nothing. You have nothing to lose. It cannot be. It cannot be. Why no one else does it? First time I hear about this. Can't be. I'll continue. I'm not taking risks. You understand what's going on here? So this is what he says. He says over here, your righteousness give to people that their heart is clean and righteous and honest. Al tevo eni regel gava. Protect me not to walk like a big shot on the street. In other words, I don't want to be a proud with ego. Protect me. It needs special protection not to fall into the pride. It's one of the biggest killers in life. Ego, ego. How many marriages is destroyed? How many relationships between parents and their children is destroyed? How many husbands and wives kill each other for one stupid thing called ego? Nothing. No one achieves anything. It's just this, to destroy each other. Why? Who is more important? Who is going to say the last word? Who is going to win the argument? How is it relevant to your life? Nothing. 9 out of 10 cases, no achievement. Just to destroy the other side. And after the divorce, even worse. They think, oh, Baruch Sheptarani, finally I make Shecheyanu. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Shecheyanu V'Kiyimanu V'Higiyanu L'Zman Hazeh. What are you saying, Moshe? I got rid of her, Baruch Hashem. Finally. No. Now your problems begin in a double format. Till now, it was on low fire. Now it's a torch. People think divorce is solution. No, my friend, think again. Most of the time it makes the situation worse than before. So it says, don't make me a show off with ego. Save me from the pride. Ve'yad reshaim al teni deni. And the hand of the wicked. Yad reshaim al teni deni. The hands of the wicked people will never be able to move me left or right. I will be solid in my path to the just. No wicked person will pull me to the basketball game, to the restaurant in Manhattan, to the birthday party in the time of the shiur, to watch a stupid, what's the name of that? The game that is coming up now. Super Bowl. Oh, Rabbi, today I'm off from the shiur. Why? Williams threw to Jackson a piece of leather. How can I live without it? You know? You replace Hashem with this garbage, shame on you a billion times. Please, at least don't call yourself religious. Be honest, at least. Can't be, can't. Cannot be religious that you replace Hashem for a piece of garbage leather. How can you call yourself religious? Maybe you say, I'm hoping to be religious. Maybe you can say, I'm trying to be religious. Maybe you say, one day I will be religious. When the league will be over, maybe. Summer vacation. But don't call yourself today religious. Today you are not religious. You sold me for this garbage. Don't say that you are my loyal son. Please, enough with the lies. Enough. So it says, Sham, check my heart carefully, like with magnified glass, if you find anything not kosher there. Ki chasdecha leneged enai, your kindness is always in front of me. I walk through your path. I never sat with liars and with sinners. I never hid in hidden places. I hate wicked groups. And I will never sit with a wicked person. It wasn't politically correct. It wasn't selling us the nonsense that some speakers selling us today. Mitzvah, mitzvah. You bring them like this. Yeah, before you bring them, you're going to be like them. And that's what usually happens today. And what does it say? Erchatz benikayon kapai. I'm washing my hands from anything impure, va sovevat mizbachecha Hashem, I will surround your altar, Hashem, להשמיע בכל תודה ולספר כל נפלאותיך, to say your greatness and my thank you to you, to reveal all your wonders to me. You know, they have Korban Toda, sacrifice that you say thank you to Hashem. It belongs to the family of Korbanot Shlamim. Usually, Korban Shlamim, you have a day and the night and the following day to eat it. But this Korban Toda, you only have a day and a night. That's it. Half of the time. Why Hashem made that unique? That you don't have enough time to finish the whole sheep, that you will be forced to invite a lot of guests. Why? Because in Seudat Hodaya, when you make a meal to say thank you to Hashem, the more people are there, the bigger the mitzvah is. The idea is to praise Hashem in a large audience, not 20 people, not 50 people. If you can get hundreds of people, better. Thousands, better. You record it, it goes to millions, better. More people listen to you praising Hashem for the miracle he did to you, the better it is. It's very interesting. One guy came out of the shul, he crossed the street and a car hit him. He was a month in a hospital. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bidvaro. He was a month in a hospital. After a month, he returned back to the shul. And he made a special meal. He got a lot of delicious food. Everyone is eating, happy in the shul after Shachrit. And he says a speech. I was almost dead and Hashem saves me and I'm able to walk back on my feet. The next day, another person also made a meal from the shul. They told him, what happened? You also got hit by a car? He said, no. I'm crossing that street for 20 years every day and the car never hit me. What should I wait after a car hit me to say thank you to Hashem? I want to say thank you to Hashem. 20 years for saving me for such a street. So much danger. 20 years every day. Again and again, it protected me from all the dangers here. Why should I wait after the tragedy happened? I thank Hashem now for saving me every moment. That's the right approach. Hashem, ahavti me'on betecha. U'mekom mishkan kvodecha. I love the place of your holiness. But we call today a shul, if it's really holy. Not all shuls are holy. Reform shul, there's no permission to step one step inside. As soon as your leg hit the floor, one step inside, a very big sin. Not allowed to enter such a place. Same thing conservative. Same thing shuls that have no separation between the ladies and the men. And some shuls have, but not high enough. He has to be 1 meter and 90 centimeter high, which cover the face of a tall woman. What a tall woman is? 6 feet. 6 feet mechitza. No access. Sometimes the mechitza is not so high, but the ladies are in the back. Some say it's kosher, because no one will really turn to look at the beauty women over there. It's embarrassing, everyone facing the east, and all of a sudden this genius is going like this. What are you doing? So since it's in the back, some allow. Also sometimes, like by the Sfaradim, usually it's on the second floor. So, you know, imagine someone, all of a sudden he's very devoted to Hashem. You know, usually people have a little bit more tact than this. Unless if he's not married, so his mind is always in a shiduch. Ashrei yoshvei betecha. Maybe ask her if she wants to go on a date. His mind is not in a prayer. His mind is only shiduch. You tell him drive to Queens, he drives to Long Island. What happened? Wake up. I'm thinking about the shiduch that didn't work out. You understand what's going on today? One teacher called the mother, you know, in a parents' conference. So when she arrived, he said to her, "Mrs. Cohen, I'm very disappointed to tell you that my son, your son's head is in space. It's not in my class." So she says, "Ishtabach shemo, my son always wanted to be an astronaut." So anyway, so he says, "I love the house of your holiness, place that people don't speak, kosher tefillah, kosher speeches, people with harmony, no hatred, no politics, no lashon hara. People come on time to shul, the ladies dress modest, the mechitza, the separation is kosher, everything beautiful. Oh, now you feel the holiness of Hashem there. Feel it. If all the above that I mentioned is not there, not only Hashem is not there, I don't want to tell you who is there. You understand? So what's going on here? He says, Al te'esof im chata'im nafshi. Don't collect my soul with all these wicked people. Do not include me with them. And with murderers, people that spills blood, do not include me with their name. Asher bidehem zima v'imina mala shochad, that their right hand is full of despicable things. Their left hand is full of despicable things. V'iminam mala shochad. Every time we say yedehem, the hand, it refers to the left hand. Because many, many times in the Tanakh you see beyado means left hand. Bimino means the right hand. When they want to speak about the right hand, they don't say beyado, they say bimino, in his right, which means the other hand is automatically always the left. Asher bidehem zima v'iminam mala shochad, and their right hand is full of bribe. Bribe, typical bribe, let me give you money that you testify for me. That's a bribe. Let me give you money that you choose my company to work with the government and not another company. How much it would cost me? Here is the money, choose me. That's a bribe. Judge has to send, Reuven has to pay $1 million to Shimon. Reuven comes to the judge, "Judge, make me get away with that, I'll give you $200,000 to your account." That's a bribe. Bribe can be to murder someone. People come, "We saw Reuven murdering Shimon." They didn't see it. They got money to say it. That's called edim zomemim. There's all different kinds of bribes. But bribe is much, much more than what people think. Bribe can be enjoying a beauty of a person. You judge, two people stand in front of you, a man and a woman. The man saw the woman smiled to you. You know, your head is spinning. When you don't, the judge doesn't realize. You connect him to a lie detector later, he says, "I swear that I rule the truth. I always stick to the truth," assuming he's an honest judge, but he doesn't know. Only if you hypnotize him, then you'll be able to know that what got this woman away is her beautiful eyes, or the smile, or getting into the elevator with the judge. You don't know he's your judge. You ask him, "What floor, sir?" He says, "Third floor." You hit the third floor, you go upstairs, you go waiting, the judge going to his room, he put his black outfit. 2 minutes later, you find out the person who was in the elevator 10 minutes ago with you, he's your judge. He can never rule you the same like before. After even a little act, even you say to him, "Good morning," automatically already have sympathy to you. This is the way that people are. So what's going on here? So David HaMelech say, these people, they don't have this kind of bribe, you know, the little things that I said now. Their hands is full of bribe. Like today, the politicians. Every little thing they do, they make sure their stomach gets fatter for money under the table, almost all of them. How many politicians you found in the last 20 years that were clean? I'm not saying ones that were not getting caught, but really, how many you think that are clean once they're in politics? That they were offered millions and thousands and who knows what, and they did never touched anything. They stuck 100% to the rules. How many? I hope I'm wrong. In my opinion, you can't find even enough to put them on one hand. Very, very hard to find. Everywhere, not only here, Israel, everywhere you go. V'ani betumi elech. I will walk with my innocence. Pedeni v'choneni. Therefore, you have to save me. I'm not like them. You know it. Ragli amda b'mishor. My legs are standing in a flat way. B'makhelim avarech Hashem. I'm going to bless you in a large audience. This is conclusion of chapter 26. Disregard the few lines that I say that my book accidentally jumped a few pages forward. So we concluded chapter 26. Now we will do chapter 27 and we'll finish for today. Chapter 27. Le David Ori Veish'i. Le David Hashem Ori Veish'i. Song that David HaMelech wrote, Hashem is my light, the one that enlight my eyes. Veish'i is my salvation. Mimi era, who should I fear? When Hashem is my light and my strength, who should I fear? Hashem ma'oz chayai mimi efchad. Hashem is the source of my life. Therefore, I don't know what fear is. I have confidence in him in everything. What should I? My father is the master of universe. I have to fear anyone? To talk, it's easy. But to be in this level, oh, how many millions of years we have to live, if we ever get 1 minute to this level. But he was in this level. Incredible. How many billions of people lived in this world? How many? Almost no one got to this level. No fear, nothing, I'm 100% confident. So what's the secret of this mizmor? Le David, Hashem, Ori Veish'i, this mizmor is related to the month of Elul. Some say, it's strange. There is a chapter, Nun Aleph, 51, that relates more to tshuva, to repentance. Why they chose in the month of Elul, in the shuls all over the world, to say this mizmor after Tfilat Shachrit, and Mincha, and Arvit, all the time, especially the Ashkenazim. After the Tfilah, the month of Elul, they say this mizmor. Why? There's a mizmor that is closer to repentance than this. What's the difference between Irah and Fachad? Because David HaMelech starts, he says, Mimi Irah. And right after that, he say, Mimi Efchad. What's the difference? Ira comes from the word Ira. Efchad comes from the word Pachad. What's the difference between Ira vafachad? Again, you ask in Israel, in the university, they tell you Milim Nirdafot. Similar words, same meaning. Answer, wrong again. There's no such thing. Similar words, same meanings in Judaism. Remember this. What does it say? It's the difference between Ira v'Fachad. Ira, it's fear from something specific that you know that you're afraid of it. The specific person who comes to kill you. So your Ira is from that particular person. Fachad is from the unknown. like now in Israel. Nobody know what's the next move of the Hezbollah after they killed two soldiers today. How do you know? Maybe Chas v'Shalom, now as we speak now, they shoot thousands of missiles in Israel. They have thousands of missiles. They can shoot nonstop. The Israeli were never able to stop one of their missiles until today, Hezbollah. They don't have rockets, remember. Missiles the size of this shul. See how big this shul is? Each one of their missiles is the size of this shul. That's how long it is, scuds. They have enough from Iran. Ooh, if they decide to shoot hundreds of them in one day, I don't even want to tell you what can happen. Let's not even talk about it. But you're afraid of the unknown. That's what we have right now. Right now in Israel, we don't have Ira. We have Pachad. Because we don't know what to expect. Ira means someone got kidnapped and they threatened to kill him in 10 hours if they don't get such and such. Now we have a specific fear. We know what we're afraid of, that he will get killed or not. That's really what we're focusing on. That's the difference between Ira and Pachad. Remember this. So it says, like this, Achat sha'alti ota avakesh. Soon we're going to see, he says, Achat sha'alti ota avakesh. Achat sha'alti, one I request for, ota avakesh, that's the one I will ask for. What's the difference between asking and requesting? Technically, it's the same. What's the difference between shoel, shoel mimcha, I ask from you, le request from you, mevakesh, what's the difference? Sheila, it's something single and specific and right now. I want this and I want it now. That's called shoel mimcha. Shachat sha'alti, I have one request from you immediately. Ota avakesh, what does it mean, ota avakesh? And I will continue to request for it for the rest of my life, constantly. That's called mevakesh. Mevakesh, it's a constant act. Like I called my yeshiva in Yerushalayim, Mevakshei Hashem, based on the books of the Ramchal, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato, the writer of Path to the Just, and many other books. What does it mean, Mevakshei Hashem? Requesters of Hashem. It's not one day only, or one week. It's every minute of your life. You're searching for Hashem. That's called mevakesh. Like Esther say, she'elati uvakashati. Soon when we read the Megillah, remember me. What does it say? Esther would say, ma she'elatech uma bakashatech. Achashverosh say to her, ma she'elatech uma bakashatech. What does it mean? It's the same word, she'elatech uvakashatech. No, no. Ma she'elatech right now. What do you need now? And what is the other thing that you need in general? Let me first do something for you now. And Esther answer, she'elati uvakashati. Right? And David HaMelech say, achat sha'alti. I have one request from you. What? Shivti bevet Hashem kol yemei chayai. Lachazot benoam Hashem ulvaker beechalo. I want to sit in the yeshiva of Hashem all my life. And when I enter there, to feel like it's the first time, that the excitement will always remain like it's the first day today. That I sit there all my life, but every day I feel, wow, the excitement of the first time that I set to learn. This is what I want. I don't want to feel like I'm there for a while. I want to feel like a visitor. Someone that comes to Disneyland once, is very excited if he's living there, walking there, is vomiting already from all the nonsense over there. What happened, Moshe? You don't enjoy Disneyland? Oof, save me from this place. But the first time, wow, Mickey Mouse. He's 90 years old already. Oh, mommy, Mickey Mouse. Hey, one leg in a grave already. Donald Duck. There are people who never grew up, especially here in America. So it says like this. It says like this. David say, Hashem said to him, what are you, tricking me? You say, Achat Sha'alti, I have one request, and then you have other requests as well. You're asking and asking, why are you telling me it's only one? So David said to him, I learned from you. You wrote in the Torah, Ve'ata Israel, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mi'imach Im Ki Le'ira Et Hashem Elokecha. What is your God asking from you besides one thing? What? To fear me. That's all. You have fear from God, you'll never sin. So all I want you is to be fearing your God. But then there's tens of other requests. You should do this, and you should do that, and you should be careful from this. So what are you fooling us? I'm only asking for one? The answer is, this one is specific, unique. Why? If you have this, everything else is a piece of cake. Easy, ma. Person fear God, he's going to steal. Person fear God, he's going to speak Lashon Hara. Person fear God, he's going to light fire on Shabbat. Ooh, he's shaking, ma. He understands what this guy is about to do in the world. Someone has no Yirat Shamayim. Everything you can expect from him. Today, someone sent me a message. I don't know, I don't have time to search for the news. Or whatever I know is from what people tell me. That one person in Israel got arrested for sleeping with his own mother. Can you believe such a thing? Forcing her, raping his mother. Constantly got arrested, this monster. You understand? You don't have fear from God. There's nothing that you should be surprised of. Nothing. Nothing you should be surprised of. Everything you ever think you heard everything, think again. There's more things you never heard before. Why? No fear from God, you're worse than an animal 100%. You have fear from God, you can be a human being. You don't have fear from God, everything is expected from you. To chop heads, to murder children, to rape women, to steal money from miserable people, to use people and kill them for promotion at work, for poisoning millions of people, for putting children in gas chambers, and have a pity on a dog while you murder her, when you murder innocent babies. Everything can be expected from you, everything. That's what Avraham Avinu say, En yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh v'haraguni. No fear from God, everything irresponsible, in a minute they'll kill me. So he said, David said to Hashem, I learned from you. You spoke about one and then you gave us many requests. Now we have to know the secret here. The Rambam said, all the expressions here in this chapter that I'm about to read to you, speaking about the next world, the spiritual worlds. It says, Bet Hashem, the house of God, Har Hashem, the mountain of Hashem, Mekom Kodesho, Chatzrot Hashem, Noam Hashem, Shar Hashem, Oel Hashem. All this, the tent of God, the pleasant of God, the yard of Hashem, the holy place of Hashem, the house of God, the mountain of God. What are all these expressions? The answer, all of them are expressions referred to the next eternal spiritual world. In that case, why David HaMelech say, Shivti Bevet Hashem, Kol Yemei Chayai, sitting in the house of God all my life. You just say that it's referring to the next world. So why is he speaking about Kol Yemei Chayai? The answer, I made a whole lecture about it. Every time that you read in the Torah or in the Tanakh, Chaim is only speaking about the life of the soul, not the life of the body. The body is dead from day one. Only the life of a soul, which is life of eternity. I have a lecture, preparation for eternal life. Every time it says Chaim in the Torah, referring to life of eternity of the soul. When Hashem say to us, if you keep my laws and your mitzvot, you will live. Meaning right now when you don't keep and you are not religious, you are dead in my eyes. When you will keep and make repentance, you will live. What do you mean? I'm living without it. Here, I smoke on Shabbat and I drive my Lexus. What do you mean? I live now. I have a beautiful house here. What do you mean I don't live? You think you live. You live like the dog. The dog is also moving. Doesn't mean he's alive. When I say you will live, I mean live in the next world life of eternity. Shivti bevet Hashem, in the house of Hashem, the eternal house of Hashem. That's the secret here. Kol yemechayai, to the life of eternity. Let's read the words and we'll finish. It says, LeDavid Hashem ori ve'ishim imi era. When Hashem is my light and my salvation, who should I fear? Hashem ma'oz chayayim imi efchad. I'm not expecting anything. Not worry. Bikrov alai mereim. When my enemies, when bad people come to attack me, le'echol et besari, to eat me alive, צהריי ואויביי לי אמא כשלו ונפלו. I know they will collapse and fail. אם תחנה עליי מחנה לא יראה ליבי, if a large army would park around me, I'm alone, thousands around me, my heart will not even fear a bit. אם תקום עליי מלחמה, בזאת אני בוטח. When they will start shooting at me, I'm still trusting you 100%. אחת שאלתי אותה אבקש, I have one request that I'm asking from you. שבתי בבית השם כל ימי חיי, that I will have the merit to sit in the house of God all my life. The simple understanding that I'll sit in a yeshiva all my life and see the greatness of God. The secret, that my soul will be in a place where you promise for the righteous people for eternity. That's what we write on the graves. Taf, Nun, Tzadik, Bet, Hey, with dots, periods. What's these five letters? Abbreviation. Tehe, Nafsho, Tzrura, Betzror, Achaim. His soul will be attached to the group of eternal life. That's what we write on the graves. Many people write it, they don't know what they write. They just write the letters because they see everywhere else. So it says, לחזות בנועם השם, to see the greatness, the presence of God, ולבקר בהיכלו, to feel like a visitor that comes here for the first time, full of excitement. כי יצפנני בסוכו ביום רעה, Hashem will make me a sukkah, a shelter, in a day of tragedy. Yastireni beseter ha'olo betzur yeromemeni, will cover me with his shed, with his tent, and will lift me up from the problems. Will like pick me up when they come to kill me and save me by lifting me all the way up. Va'atai arum roshi al oivai svivotai, and now I'm on the top and my enemies are in the bottom. ואסבחה באוהלו זבחי תרומה, and I will sacrifice in his temple sacrifices with blowing shofar and trumpets. אשירה ואזמרה להשם, I'm gonna sing and dance for Hashem. שמע השם קולי אקרא, listen Hashem to my voice when I scream to you. וחונני וענני, have mercy on me, like me, find favors in your eyes for me, and answer my request. Lecha amar libi bakshu panai. My heart is speaking to you, asking to be close to you. Et panecha Hashem avakesh. I want to be close with you. Al taster panecha mimeni. Don't hide your face from me. Like it's written in the Torah, ביום ההוא אסתר אסתיר פניי מהם. When the Jews go against me and rebel against me and ungrateful to me, I'm gonna block my eyes and my face and won't see them and won't help them. Speaking about the Holocaust, in this part of the Torah, you have the word the Holocaust hidden in equal mathematical skip of 49th letter. Ha-Shoah, right here in this verse that Hashem say, I'm closing my eyes, I'm blocking my face, I will not be there to protect them. That's the answer to all the critics who ask, where was Hashem in the Holocaust? The answer, he wasn't there. He already warned that when we go against him, 80% intermarriage, rebel against the Torah, don't appreciate the gift that we got, will pay the price. That's what the Torah warned from. What are you complaining about? I always say, if you're honest enough, the Holocaust is one of the strongest proofs that Hashem runs the world. Because it was written in the Torah 3,200 years before it happens, in details. What else do you want? If it wasn't written, if there was no warning, then I understand. The question is legit. But if the warnings are all over, when the problem arrives, what are you asking? You can feel bad. You can eat your heart, you can sit and cry forever. It's normal, we're all upset. But to pretend you're surprised, that's hypocrisy. Be honest, say, we paid. We did things that we shouldn't do, and Hashem punished us. It definitely wasn't a gift. For those who think it was a gift, think again, it wasn't a gift. So, he says, don't block your face from me. Al tat be'af avdecha. Don't push me away with your anger. I'm your servant. Ezrati ha'ita al ticheni ve'al ta'azveni Elohei Shi. You were always my assistant. Assistance. Do not neglect me. Do not abandon me. You are my savior. Ki avi ve'imi azavuni. Because my father and my mother neglected me, and Hashem picked me up and saved me. Oreni Hashem darkecha, Hashem show me your ways, unecheni beorach mishor leman shorerai, and show me the right way leman shorerai, that I'll be able later to thank you with songs. Al titneni benefesh tzarai, do not hand me. To the evil people, my enemies, ki kamu bi edei sheker vifea hamas, because many people are against me with their lies and false testimonies. Lulei emanti lirot betuv Hashem be'eretz chaim, if not that I believed that I will merit to see the greatness of God in the land of life, that in the end everyone gets what he deserves. And I know if I'm going to continue to do everything you told me as I always did, I'm going to inherit my share in the life of eternity. Without that, I would be collapsed already, finished. I would lose hope. But since I know the justice are to come, yet to come, that's what keeps me going. Kavel Hashem. Have hope for Hashem, chazak ve'yametz libecha, make your heart stronger, and again, hope for Hashem. Which means, even if he did not send you your shiduch now, he may send it to you next month. Not next month, next month, not next month, next month. 5 years, next year. Eventually it'll happen. I was just in a wedding of a couple, but much older than the regular average age of marriage. We went there. I'm sure that this woman, somewhere in her heart, felt, I'm 45, 46, I missed the train, that's it. Maybe in this life I won't ever get married. But she made tshuva, and a real tshuva, I'm a witness, real tshuva, no jokes. 2.5 to 3 years, serious tshuva, modesty, Shabbat. A woman that grew up American, Ashkenaz, no Judaism, family detached completely from Judaism. What are the odds? She comes, she started to listen to my lecture, then she started to show up to the lectures and made a complete tshuva. Started even to sponsor CDs, to sponsor a guy from the yeshiva, to do everything she could for the truth. And she had hard times. When is it gonna happen? And eventually it happened, and it was sweeter than honey for her. Why? Kave el Hashem, chazak ve'yametz libecha ve'kave el Hashem. That's what they say in the Tanakh. Even though Mashiach didn't come yet, He's hold back. He's delayed. Don't worry. He will come. Eventually it will happen. How long? Hashem knows. But don't ever lose hope. Bezrat Hashem, we'll see you next Wednesday. I hope that the word will spread out, that we back to our lectures, that people will continue to come like it was before I left. Thank you very much. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.